And I just want to say over Dave's life that he has every reason to be here. He has every right to be here. He deserves every bit of what he's getting today. He hasn't earned it ever, but that's never been important to him. The only thing that's been important to him is being real with you. And so I pray that would be at the very center of who he's at today, where he's at today, and who he is and what he wants to say today. I pray that the reality of who you are in him would come out strong, and that you'd be glorified in everything he does and says today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. I was kind of hoping I was going to be slain in the spirit right there to kill a couple more minutes, right? Thanks, everybody who spoke. I was looking at like five after, like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to make it for an hour. But I could probably talk for 35 minutes. Jody, that was a good word. I felt that this morning in a huge way. We need to be able to receive that and receive prayer. I'm nervous. Like, I'd probably just be calm and cool, but on the inside, or my hand with the mic, right? Yeah, but I came in here, and I was nervous, and I wasn't sure, and I thought it was going to be a breeze, but the closer it got to Sunday morning, I was just like, whoa, I only have, like, two ideas to talk about, really. So, but man, people just started coming up to me and praying for me, and maybe I just had this look on my face, like, you know, but we need to be able to receive that prayer, to be open with each other, honest with each other. Hey, man, I need prayer. God knew, so I didn't have to ask, but I needed it. So yeah, I'm nervous. It's not like preparing for a teaching or sermon is not like preparing for worship. You know? Like, Jeff asked me last week, he's like, you have any ideas? I'm like, yeah, I got some ideas. That's all I had. Well, when you're preparing for worship, an idea is just like a couple of songs, or there's like three or four songs that are with that idea. That's like, it's half the set. I'll do the rest Saturday night. We're good. Well, when you do that, when preparing for a teaching like I did, I'm sorry, Saturday night I was like, oh, I am not ready. So here we go. I'm sorry for not being prepared. Someone who was prepared, let's get into the Bible, talk about that. Nehemiah. It's a story about preparedness. I didn't even read it or look it up. This is just from my memory. I've heard a teaching about it one time. He was like working for some king who, whatever, he was a cupbearer, which probably wasn't like a huge honor or whatever. But Jerusalem was over there, and Jerusalem was falling apart or something, and God put it on his heart, and he wanted to like help build the wall and make Jerusalem whole again. That was his thing, you know. But he needed permission and whatever. But before he went to ask the king, he was at work. He was a busy man. He was preparing. I don't know the story. He had materials lined up. He had laborers lined up. He had everything, like all his ducks in a row. And he approached the king and he said, hey, this is on my heart. It's what I want to do. And the king said, okay. He was on it. It was already in the works. That's preparedness. That's not really what I'm going to talk about today, but that's what I should have done to get ready for today. How's that? what I wanted to talk about, I think, and what I believe the Lord laid on my heart was Kevin. He's in class. He was kind enough to text me last night, be like, hey, I'm working on the notes. You got any ideas? Did you get a title or a scripture? And I'm like, yeah, I did kind of make it up a title to help myself stay focused. And that was right now. It's on the thing. Right now. And the idea that comes along with that is what is right now in this moment. Where are we in this moment? Like, we're all here in this building. You know, it's very localized, but even smaller, where are you right now? You're in your chair, you know, right now, and then you're looking at your phone, your watch, you're, you know, at me, at the screen, whatever. Like, the ever-passing moment. What is happening in you, to you, here and here, right now? Right now. Right now. You know, see where I'm going with this? Like, it's always a moment. There's always a moment. Life, momentarily, so to speak. And so, how does that fit into your relationship with God, Jesus, each other, your family? Every moment counts. Yeah. Kind of like, I don't know, you know, I wish I was better at living the circular time and whatever, but my timeline's very linear. And I spend a lot of my time not living right now. A lot of times I'm just living a half hour from now. You know, yeah, it's good, Nehemiah, look forward and be prepared, but like, it kind of takes away from the right now. And maybe what God's trying to say to you right now, like, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When do you think that's happening? That's happening right now. It really is. And right now I want to say, I guess, this is kind of for me. And if this makes any sense to you at all, then if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm not trying to, like, degrade anybody or say anything about how you live your life, whatever. Like, I feel like God was really speaking to me, and I was like, well, sweet. I was really searching for something to talk about, so let's talk about this. Yeah, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's right now. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and knocked on the door? Like, you don't want to just stand there forever. You want them to open it, you know, right now, if you're impatient like me, I guess. So, yeah, that was the title of the thing. I guess I should see. I did pretty good there for 5 minutes. I'm going to get my notes out. I did notes. Yeah. Bullet points more. Right. So what pulls away from right now? We talked about that a little bit. Distraction, a generalized term. That can be anything. Just anything in your everyday life. Your work, your family, your spouse. Yeah. Your phone, the big one. Your past, your future. These are all things that distract from the right now. And that's just something really big. I feel like God speaks to you right now. You know? He doesn't speak to you in the past. He might speak about your past or whatever, but like, we are alive right now. God's speaking to you right now. The Spirit is in you right now. The Spirit is alive in you right now. And so I think it's a huge ploy of the enemy to distract us always, right? He's always trying to distract us from thinking about the right thing. So the Spirit's in me. Jesus is standing at the door knocking. All these things are happening for me right now to be who God wants me to be and be who God's called me to be. And I'm not paying attention. I'm not. I'm distracted. I'm distracted by what's for dinner, you know, or, you know, who's playing who, the Eagles and the Patriots, right? I'm distracted by, there's just a myriad of things I'm distracted by. So I need to center in, find my focal point. How do I do that? I believe it's to just keep that in mind, that we're distracted. There's something to be like, wait a second, you know, it happened just as Jeff was praying for me. He's like, oh, you know, Lord help him and stuff. And I'm just like looking at the floor, right? And this light shining down on this table, and there's like three circles, but they're kind of intertwined with the, you know, how it, and I'm just like, God is three in one and the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I should probably talk about that. Yeah, that's pretty good. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Right? That has nothing to do with right now, the ever-passing moment. Like, I'm just going over here. Now, mind you, it was a biblical truth. Right? So God's trying to speak to me, maybe trying to speak to you. And I'm trying to focus so I can relay this message, yeah? And my mind is taking me over here with biblical truth. Is that crazy? I don't know if it's the enemy or just me or whatever, but like, the enemy can use partial truth to distract us. Would you believe that? It just happened to me. I mean, right? That's just kind of blows my mind. But so I would ask the Lord to help me stay focused. What have you laid on my heart? Open that door. Jesus is knocking, right? What do you got for me right now? Maybe it's somebody in your life. Maybe it's somebody at your job. Maybe it's somebody in your home, your kids, your spouse. Does he have a word for you, for them? Does he just have a word for you? Is he trying to tell you something? And all you can think about is how much this guy pissed you off at work. Or it happens to me sometimes. I work with a lot of volatile people. But so, yeah, right now, all we have is right now. And it says that in the Bible. Let's get back to some, not just my opinions. There's some word here somewhere. James 4:13. I just wrote a note here, buy and sell. Something about, you say you're going to go here and there next year. You're going to buy and sell and make a profit and do this and that and the other. We're making a plan. We're planning our future, which is good in the Nehemiah sense. Not that good in the distraction sense. Do you see what I'm saying? Like there's tools and there's things to do, but for now, for me, for right now, it got impressed on me the importance of right now. You know, decisions you make a decision right now. So also, right now, having to do with right now is, I need to seize the moment, right? Carpe diem, seize the day, I guess. Seize the moment. It was actually a song lyric that kept running through my mind while I was thinking about this, and it was a very secular artist from a long time ago. Is that a right word? You guys know? Secular. Eminem. He was a rapper. Is a rapper. I don't know, but he kind of just seize the moment, freeze it, own it. It's like, I just can't help it. But it works because I was thinking about, I started this thing with just writing down, geez, I don't even know what to talk about. Like, what are some scriptures that are important to me? Like things I think about and armor of God. I haven't even talked about that yet. You go, you buy and sell. But this one was seize the moment, having to do with some preparedness, being prepared for right now. John 3:8 says, the wind blows and you hear the sound of it, but you know not where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Huh? Like, what? I know exactly what I'm doing and where I'm going and what time. And is that weird? I like to say I'm born of the Spirit. What am I missing here? I heard someone read this book. The Native Americans. You know what I'm talking about. I think you gave my dad this book, Jerry. One Tribe, Many. Yeah, it was before wristwatches. It said the white man carries his God in his pocket. Right? Does that make sense? Like, why they said that? Observation. Every time you're around a white dude, he had this fancy shirt on, and he just like checking it, like probably the way we check our phones. I would now say that our God is our phone now, just to not be too, right? Does that make sense? How often do you check your phone? Probably as much as the white man checked his pocket watch. So, I don't know. I need to repent of that because I read scriptures like the wind blows and you hear the sound of it, but you know not where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. I want to be born of the Spirit. I believe that the Spirit is power, is Jesus' healing power. It's our lifeblood. It's Jesus on earth, Jesus in us, in his Spirit, in our spirit. And it's a thing. And it's our body is our house and the strong man and all these scriptures that you know about keeping your house clean. It's so the Spirit can live in you. He wants to be in you. He is in you, if you let him. I want to let him. And I want to be available to what he's doing. Yeah. Am I available to him or am I distracted? I'm distracted, big time. We're all distracted. I'm not condemning anybody. Like I said, this was for me, for sure. If you're digging it, dig it. I don't know. So the wind blows. We don't know where it goes, right? We just had a couple trees fall in our house in the last storm we had. Like, oh, so where'd that come from? The wind usually blows the other direction. It happens, right? And just like that, it usually blows the other direction. This is how things usually go. Sometimes that's not what God wants to do right now. You know, usually, yeah, that's fine, but not right now. Right now, he wants you to take a left instead of a right because I live off to the right, and that's the way I always go home. But he wants me to take a left. Am I conscious enough of what the Spirit's saying to me to take a left and not go the same route? I want to. Am I? I don't know. I don't think so. I guess we'll find out in a little bit. Maybe we should all just take a different route home and see what happens, you know? Be careful, though. We'll all end up going around the circle backwards and causing a wreck or something. But, so, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I think that's what God was trying to say to me is, or it's more of a question. Are you available? Are you available for the Spirit to work in you? Are you available for the Spirit to work through you? I want to be. You want to be? I do, yeah. Because I think that's when things start to happen. Jeff talks about this a lot, how rad Longview is. I'm with you, man. I like it. You know, you got mountains, you got beach, you got whatever. I want to be a part of what God's doing. But in order for that to happen, I need to hear him, hear from him, you know. In order to hear from him, I need to be connected to him. I need to be able to be moved through. And I can't do that when I'm so distracted. You know what I mean? Like right now, I can't stop thinking about, is it raining out? Am I going to be able to like, walk to my car and not get soaked? You know what I mean? Like, just, oh, I know, I can just check my phone and it'll tell me. So there's just all this stuff is going on. It just really doesn't help. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already, like, not with it. I can't have all this stuff to think about and let Jesus work through me. So we're super distracted. I'm super distracted, that's obvious. Like everything I look at, I think the devil's messing with me. Like, behind me, Satan. I'm just like, how did they wire those lights? You know, like I want those lights to go down my staircase. I'm like looking, I'm like, okay, focus. But I think that happens to all of us in the middle of everything we're doing, right in the middle of it. And that's why it's good to be together. I was so distracted during worship. Like, I really wanted to be like, Lord, pour over me and make me speak your word and stuff. And I just, like, Well, I chased my daughter around. That wasn't very... Talk about distraction. You should have a toddler around. I'm sure a lot of you have, but... Man, they're like the epitome of what my mind is. You know, she's just like, boom, 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 boom. It's just, that's pretty much me trying to pray. So, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? We live in the most culturally distracting time in the history of the world. Think about that. That's epic. That is major. What do we do? Lord, help me. Best prayer in the Bible. You know what I mean? Peter's out there and he's like sinking into the water. You're going to drown in the storm. And he's like, he said that's pretty much the best thing he could say. Lord, help me. I'm going to die. I can't do it. Good. I think that prayer right there, without being too specific, without asking for too much, maybe that's asking for a lot. I don't know. But like, keep that in your back pocket. When you start getting too distracted and too weirded out, you're trying to focus. Lord, man, help me. I can't do this. I can't focus. I'm a toddler. If you know what I mean? We think we're so spiritually mature. I'm a spiritual toddler. For sure. So, distracting times. Let's just think about that for a while I drink water. Wish I had something super spiritual to say about water, but I don't. You'll give us water? Jeff's been talking about the road trip with Jesus. I'm working through Luke. Road trip with Jesus. How cool would that have been? Y'all been on a road trip before? Yeah? It doesn't matter where you're going, just like the beach or cross country. Pretty awesome. And when you reflect on the trip, maybe after the fact or during or whatever, it's the whole idea where it wasn't really about the destination. It was about the journey, right? That's pretty cliche, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. So you're on a road trip with Jesus, and he's like, you're hanging out with him. You know what I mean? Like, I love talking to Jesus and having little God moments and stuff. But could you imagine being there with Jesus and he's like making fun of Matthew or something? And he's just like, God, damn, he's a tax collector. Remember that? And it's like, yeah, okay. So, you know, and that's the kind of relationship that I want to have with Jesus, man. You know, like, there is his lordship, and that is a very serious deal. But there's also his friendship. And I'm not that weird around my friends. There's some friends I'm kind of weird around, but I guess we're not really that great of friends. The disciples were living in the right now on that road trip. The right now, the right here and now with Jesus, road tripping. And they didn't have cars. And they didn't have buses and trains. It wasn't like weird hobo, like, singing songs about America, traveling the rails or anything, you know what I mean? It was like, they were just walking along, they abandoned their lives, they're walking with Jesus, and they're just heading, they don't even know where they're going, probably. Jesus is just like, hey, let's go, come on. Okay. So they're, I guess they weren't born of the Spirit yet, but Jesus was kind of there to force them. They're following Jesus, they're in the right now, they're listening to his teachings, and, they didn't have anywhere to, like, stay, really. It's not like they made it to the next spot right now. They didn't have cars, man. It was, like, hills and mountains and stuff. So they'd have to, like, make camp, probably. I'm just assuming. I don't really know. But can we assume that? Like, make camp. Maybe had a couple fish in the pack or something. And you ever been camping? So everybody's been on a road trip. Everybody been camping. You know, and, like, it takes time. Like, you gotta like stop and get all your stuff out, and then you build a fire, and then it takes forever. You can't just pop it in the microwave. You gotta like get the coals just right, and then you gotta like put it on there. And all this is happening with Jesus, hanging out as friends, you know, doing the thing. And then you sit around and have campfire time. That's one of my favorite times about camping. Like, you're sitting there, the fire's crackling, you're kind of done for the day, and then you're talking to people. You're just relating with them. And it's just like, I'm really seeing you. There's flame flickering. You know what I mean? But it's like, I'm really there. I'm really present. I'm really in this moment. There was a lot of really cool right nows with Jesus for the disciples, right? I think we can still have that with him in our own way. I think that's why he wanted us to hang out with each other. Because we do, we experience him through his spirit, through each other. I think, you know, like, he's in me and he's in you. And we connect. You know, you connect on a level. I'm actually pretty passionate about this. I'm trying not to be too, like, man, there's something missing if I were to text Jeff right now. You know what I mean? Rather than speak to the man. We live in distracting times. When you talk to somebody face to face, it's like those two electrical rods, science class experiment, and it energizes, and the, you know, and then the little blue line, electricity goes between them. I think that's how we were designed on a spiritual level. Like, there's just like, when you connect with somebody, you really connect with them. And that's broken by distraction. So, Jesus ascends to heaven. He sends his spirit to earth to empower us to preach the gospel, to send us out into the world to connect with people, to be connected with each other, to bring those people into our fold, to know the truth that Jesus Christ is crucified and that he's risen. It's awesome. Distraction's killing us. It really is. Distraction is killing us. Distraction is killing Jesus' dream for us. I'm sorry if that hurts. It's real. And convenience is killing us. Give me convenience or give me death. You know? Shoot. Probably would die if I didn't have all the convenient stuff I had. Like, I could be better about what I'm talking about. I'm just talking. I'm probably here. I'll get a little Paul on you. Like, I'm probably the worst offender in the room. So don't, like, I told you, God was speaking to me when he was talking about this. You need to be, I need to be, we need to be more available to what Jesus is trying to say to us right now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. The wind blows and you hear the sound of it, but you know not where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I want that, Jesus. Help me to put my priorities in you and what you want out of me rather than what me and what I want out of me. You know? Seize the moment. You could do this. I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to try and do this today. We'll see where today takes us because we don't know. Because we're not promised. Right. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the rest of the day, really. I don't know. If I do get to see it, I want to see it through his eyes and live through that spirit. And I want to connect with people with that, the connection that can be there. The distraction is killing. I can't say that enough. It's distracting is killing the connection between God's people, between God and me. I just, so as you go out through the day, just, I think that's our biggest tool is, Lord, help me. And just to be mindful. This is a distraction. Kind of like the three circles on the ground, the shadow, you know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, he's praying for me. And it's, that's a distraction. That's not what this is about right now. Stop thinking about something else. I'm trying to focus here. So if we can get to a place where we're at least mindful that we're that the enemy is, there is little fiery darts being shot at you. You know, your shield of faith extinguishes those. You know, that's part of the armor of God thing. I didn't really get to that. So we can be mindful of that. And as we go, as I go, as we go, we need to just be ourselves as well. Yeah. God created you and you, you and you uniquely beautiful to be you. Well, it's not too much opinion. Let's get back to the Bible, right? Jeremiah 29:11, pretty familiar. It says, I know the plans I have for you. Don't look away. I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to paraphrase, and they're awesome. Yeah, right? Yes. But I think too many people focus on the awesome part. Forget about the you. He says, and he's speaking to you, I know the plans I have for you, and they're awesome. But I'm too distracted by the world to let God really tell me who I am. Or I'm too distracted and too fearful. None of these things are godly. To be who he created me to be. There's so many influences in the current state of the world to try and tell me who I am, who I should be. So what do? I try to do those things because that's who I think I'm supposed to be. Wear this, do that, buy this, watch that. It's just like constant. And it's happening right now. How many people are distracted right now? I am. I was on the Mountain Ministries. Woo! Anybody? I've been there a couple months. I was raised in the church, like Jeff said. I've been surrounded by this stuff, so I had a totally different experience than everybody else. Like, I was a little jealous of the guys that, like, had never heard about Jesus, and they're just totally coming out of prison and off of drugs, and they're like, whoa, freedom is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I know that scripture. You know what I mean? But, so I don't know, I had a different journey, but, there was one guy, he'd been there quite a while. He was actually a graduate, and he was excited. He was one of those guys. And, like, man, he worshipped with passion. Like, and he was just into it. He was just like, he'd never experienced freedom. He'd been locked up since he was a little kid. You know what I mean? When he was out, he was a prisoner to other things. So he's experiencing real freedom, and he's excited about it. And I'm talking, like, this guy was just, oh, Jesus, and just jumping around and doing all this stuff. Well, and then I'm all, like, cynical in the back, like, nah, right on, you know. But I'm watching, and there's these other guys that just kind of get there, and they're fresh on the, you know, just starting to, it's pretty much like church in the morning, go to work, eat lunch, church in the afternoon, eat dinner, church at night. It was just like there's a lot of stuff. And so this happened like 3 times a day at least. Worship, great, it was awesome. But I see these guys that only been there a couple weeks or a month or a little longer, and they're wanting to, like, step into it. You know, they're like, okay, I'm digging. This is real. I like this. But it broke my heart to see the people that really wanted it weren't looking to Jesus to tell them who they were and the awesome plans that he had for them, Jeremiah 29. You know, they didn't know, I guess. You know, they didn't have anybody to show them that and to try and help them, you know. All they would see is this guy being loud and excited and jumping up and down in the corner. And so they'd start doing that. It's like, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, you know, if that's who you are and if that's who God created you to be, but God didn't create everybody to be that guy. Not everybody worships God that way. You know why? Because you're a snowflake. You know what I mean? Like, you're beautiful. He created you individually to be beautiful the way he intended. Life is a tapestry. You've heard all these things. I'm just using very common, like, you know, all the colors that are woven in and out. You are a certain color, and he wants you to be that color. He doesn't want you to be that guy's color because that guy's fulfilling his role. He needs you to fulfill your role. Yeah. I call it the doobie principle. Don't do, just be. Because what those guys were trying to do, they were trying to do what this guy was doing. That's not what God had for them. So I'm running around trying to do everything. I'm trying to do what this world's telling me I need to do. Because everybody else is doing it too. So everybody's just trying to be like this guy over here or this one over here. They're probably trying to be like this person over here. So you're trying to be like them. They don't even know who they are. They're trying to be like this person. You know? Yeah, we're snowflakes. God wants you to be the color of thread through the tapestry that he created you to be because he has a plan and he knows that plan for you and it's awesome. We all fit together, but it gets a little muddled if I'm trying to be like you. Yeah. Right? Don't do, just be. I wanted to make a t-shirt. I was like a pile of poop over here and a little bumblebee over here. Don't do, just be. You know? But it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. You know, an illustration. It helps. Yeah. So, God's doing stuff all the time. The Spirit is moving all the time. The wind is blowing all the time, right? You fly a kite, tree falls under your house, whatever. Like, things are happening. And I want to be a part of it. You know? So, I want to be a part of it in the way that he wants me to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it in the way that I think you think I should be a part of it. So, Lord, help me. Right? Help us to hear your word. Help us to hear your voice. Jesus, help us to feel the Spirit, to listen to those, what's that word, the unction, that whatever you feel in your spot, everybody's got that spot, right? You know, your chi or whatever the Eastern religions call it. There's something right here, and you can feel it. Sometimes, man, it's just like, oh, I should probably talk to that person, right? But I got somewhere to be. Maybe God's arranged things to where you probably should talk to that person. Or maybe it's something as simple as smiling at the person who's having a hard time unloading their grocery cart in the grocery line. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's all people need is just a smile. Big or small, major, not, whatever. God, I want to be present in the moment without distraction to hear your voice so that I can do your will exactly the way as you intended me to do it. Because you know the plans that you have for me, and they're awesome. That's about all I got, man. Yeah. So, yeah. A homework assignment. Don't do, just be. Today, on your way home, or whatever, whoever you encounter today, whatever happens today, just think about right now, what's going on right now. Am I distracted? Lord, help me. See what the Spirit does. Let's do it. Amen.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
So, what do you guys think? What's stirring in your hearts about what he shared? What makes sense? Sit. Patty, what? What makes sense?
It's right where God's got me is getting rid of the distractions and asking him to focus me like a laser pointer so that I complete exactly what he wants me to do. And there's all those other ideas that keep popping up. Well, this would be cool.
Yeah.
And they're all good.
Yeah.
And they're all godly, but they're not the best and the one that he wants.
Very cool. Very cool. Somebody else. Tracy, you're the lifer trainer. Yeah.
You know, it's we're so distracted. And if we're in his presence in this moment or the present, then all things can happen.
Yeah.
All, you know,
yeah.
And his plans will be awesome.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Yes?
Libby spent the last three nights with
us. Got to talk loud.
Our Libby spent the last three nights with us. And so we just go in a room and stay there all night and talk. But that's what we prayed about last night. We're waiting to see what God's going to do today. Just be.
Yeah, yeah.
Be. I mean, it's that is it. You know, just you get your relationship with God and
yeah.
intimacy, and then you just go.
Feels really good. Feels good to just be.
That's yes. it.
Anybody else? Yes, Tam.
Don't try to be like somebody else. They're being who they're called to be, but just be who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it really tedious to try to be like other people. It just takes so much effort, and it seems like you get so little out of it. It's yeah, Grace.
Every once in a while I slip in and out of this. I'll say, well, why can't I just be quiet? Or why do I talk to strangers, you know? And then I try to mute myself, and it's been telling me, just be who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be who you are. And
yeah.
I said, okay, and then I start feeling good again.
Yeah. It really does feel good.
You know, whatever he said in the red letter or black, I was like, yeah, okay, let's go do it. And I was telling her, sometimes I felt like a bull in a china cabinet, and then God would say, well, sometimes they're too precious. And he would tell me that, and I'd go around and I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything, but I've been thinking lately, now I need to act my age. And I'm watching a baby right now, okay? You need to act your age, and then the Lord's like going, I feel like the Holy Spirit doing this, inside. And I just decided, I will act my
age. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm
eternal. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody in here, you guys?
Right.
What do you think? Sandy.
Maybe another homework assignment. Kim Walker has a testimony. It's just Kim Walker testimony. It's about 10 minutes of sort of a vision that she had. But the main question that Jesus wanted her to ask is, what did you have in mind when you created me?
Yeah.
And I just love that, because if we, like he said, with the thread or the color we are, if we truly know who we are, I wish I would have known that when I was 18. I mean, that just saves so much time and stress and misplacement to try and be anything else but that. If we truly knew what we're here for and who we are and focus our attention and our mind on that, we don't stop to compare with others. We just be the best we can,
yeah.
doing what God's called us to be, and it saves so much time and emotional energy.
Yeah, yeah. Susan, do you have something? Look like you're raring to go.
Well, I have a trip coming up, and I found myself starting to think of the worst case scenario, what could happen.
Yeah.
No, we don't need to go there.
No. It's good to be prepared, but you can be prepared for anything, too. You don't have to be prepared for something. You can be prepared for anything. And that's a pretty cool place to live your life. Isaac, anything? Okay. Well, you know what's cool about this, what David did today, is we got to see this emerge in him. You know? He's never done this before. I mean, he spoke before, I'm sure, at different places in meetings and stuff like that, but not this. And so we got to see it emerge. And it's a little bit, I don't know, it's clumsy, you know. I remember the first time I shared, and it really feels clumsy. But in the midst of, if you're okay with that, if you're okay with the process, and I got to tell you guys, for you to give Dave an environment, an atmosphere where he can be himself and just learn and grow and try this thing out, who knows if he'll ever teach again? But I have a feeling he probably will, because I feel I'm pretty sure he feels empowered by what happened today. To go on thinking and go on speaking and go on sharing his heart with people. But to see that happen, you need an environment where it can happen. You can't, we can't be, oh, I don't, compared to this person or compared to that person. One of the blessings I've had over the years is I've been around people who love me. And so I always felt like I could make mistakes. I still feel like that. I still feel like I make mistakes. I still feel like I fumble and bumble around, but I'm around people who love me, and it makes all the difference in the world. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of David. Thank you for giving him a place to try stuff out, to grow. And you did a great job, Dave. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I went on a mission trip with Dave years ago.
Yeah.
And he always impressed me back then, his love for God. And he was just great. And so when I heard that he was marrying Jessica, I was like, wow, I just like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the thing about that you may not know about Dave is he talks about being distracted, but I've never seen anybody, well, except Dwayne Sanchez. It was the same way as you. It's the same kind of thing. And that's why I miss him so much, is because he could focus on somebody and all, the rest of the whole room would be going chaotic. And Dave has the ability to focus on this one person and tell them, by the way, he looks at them and speaks to them, that he cares about them. And so he may say, it's not, he may say that he's distracted a lot, and he is distracted a lot, I'm sure. But he does have this gift of being able to cut through it and focus on what's right in front of him right at the moment. It's a gift. And you'll see him. You'll see him, especially with people who are off the streets and stuff like that, or people who are underprivileged or people who don't have stuff. Dave seems to really have an affinity to pay attention to those people and care about them, almost to a fault sometimes, because it'll wrap him up for hours, you know, in this other person's life. Let's stand. It's a good morning. I've got two.